We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tomorrow, Adam just found out he's going to be off. He's driving to Canada because marijuana.
I love Canada.
Legal.
Even more
tomorrow
now.
Will be legal. All right, what do we think? Is this what we want here in the state? Is this what we want in the country? Highest profile country on the planet to ever legalize it in total. Each province has the latitude to set it up in their own particular way. And some of the provinces are ready to go tomorrow, Adam. Other provinces are further behind. You can buy as a Canadian citizen online. So if you live on the outskirts and you want to buy it from the Toronto's Weeds R Us, you can do it that way. I do like when they kind of put the population in perspective with California. What's your guess at California's population? I'm going by the USA Today story.
California's population is...
Is it bigger or smaller than Minnesota?
I'm going to say 25 million people.
The story said 39 million.
Wow.
I would not have guessed. I know it's enormous. And they point out the population of Canada is 37 million. California, on size... is 25 times smaller than Canada. I think there's a little more density to California.
Wow, that even seems high.
Yeah, that I agree.
I don't know if you know this, but Canada, it's a big country.
Big country. And you know what happens when it's...
a lot of land.
Yeah, and that Lake Ontario, tremendously wet.
Yeah.
Tremendously wet. Canada, their projected revenues, $6.5 billion. California, they like the weed better. $11 billion. They're basically trying to double. So, again, now because it's legal, you can use banks. You don't have to play this fraudulent game like we have in this country where it's legal in a state, but it's not legal federally, so you can't work with banks. Can you bring it on a college campus? Is it up to the state to do that or a federal laws? Can you bring it to an airport where it's legal in the state? But that's obviously overseen by federal officers and the federal law. I still have significant concerns about driving while high. And I am just stunned that when this has to be a quest to make an astronomical amount of money to have the definitive system that is going to show in some way, you know, what's in your system, right? And it's got to be something different than, okay, somebody got high 2 days ago and isn't high anymore and there's THC in the system. What is in them now and how is it affecting them driving? Because I believe marijuana should be legal. I think there is a way to regulate it. I think there is a safety component. I think marijuana is safer and better for you than alcohol. I don't even think it's close, to be honest. I'm not willing to say, like some total purist, okay, let's just make everything legal. Because, yeah, the war on drugs has been an epic failure. I'm not going to the point where coke, meth, everything is completely legal. I 100% think it should be. Yes, I do have pause that if you do make it legal, that more people believe it's available to them, and can that cause safety issues. I think that is a fair conversation, and I do not want to diminish any life that could potentially be lost because of this. At the same time, we have a lot of products which are legal in our country now, which can be misused, can be abused, and can put others that have nothing to do with this person in harm's way, and horrifically, their lives are ended. So I believe marijuana should be legal. It should be regulated. You should be allowed to have banking with it. It's not going to solve every financial issue. I think some of the proponents go too far in that, but it would bring a great deal of money. And I don't think the prohibition has worked. I think we're behind the times on this one. Where do you stand? Do you want marijuana to be legal in the entire country? Do you want it to be legal in the state? Do you think we're close to legalizing it in this state? Let's take phone calls and text 651-989-9226 or text away 81807. Get Adam's thoughts in moments. Right now, Adam has an update. All sorts of text on the topic, but we'll take phone calls also. Canada, tomorrow, legal to smoke. Now, province by province, you can have different regulations. And what a shock, a government rollout isn't ready. But you can buy it. You can buy it online. It will be regulated. It will be taxed. They're projecting up to $6.5 billion in revenue. Do you want it in the state of Minnesota? Do you think we're close to legalizing it in the state of Minnesota? And what about the United States of America? Adam, there was no chance that Mark Dayton was going to be for it as governor. And let's just point this out. The governor was caught in multiple lies on the medicinal marijuana situation and then was shamed by some of the parents of kids who need medicinal marijuana, where they came out and they admitted the governor told them, go buy it somewhere else and bring it back here, which is this kind of minor problem. It's against federal law.
Go buy it on the street.
Yeah, and that was the other one. Go buy it on the street. So when the Dayton administration will tout that among their accomplishments, let's look at the facts. You butchered that. You were against it, and it was so embarrassing that you wanted to look in the eyes of adults or children who are in extraordinary pain and say no. I mean, if you're against the medicinal marijuana, you're just cruel or you're clueless, because you really want to say that to somebody in your life if this does help them. But you know what we can do? We can just overload them with pharmaceutical drugs forever, completely alter them. But we couldn't do this when this has helped people. But we know it's going to be Jeff Johnson or Tim Walz. Do you think we're close with either one of them?
I do, actually. I think both, while not coming out and saying it, I think both are kind of soft on, especially, I guess you would look at Jeff Johnson being the one who would be a firmer no.
Yep.
But I feel like his campaign, or at least Jeff Johnson himself, is a little more open to the idea than I thought.
I think they're both more open than Dayton.
Yes.
We only have where we vote on, constitutional changes. So we don't have a public vote. I think if there's a vote and you needed to get to the 50% of registered voters, I don't think it'd be a problem at all. Do you? Because it's not just 50% of the people who vote. It's 50% of the registered voters, right? Isn't that the way it works out? Because it's what is that clarification in? Do I have it right? Because it's a bar of 50% that's a little bit different, but it would pass. The country is changing on it. I think at a federal level, though, Adam, we're still a long ways away. Where it's federal law, do you see a scenario?
No.
I just
Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
No, although he talked a lot, has anything really changed that different from Attorney General Jeff Sessions to Attorney General Eric Holder?
No.
Is it really that? I mean, the marijuana supporters, when Obama won, because he was so open about his own use, felt like, okay, here we go. Not a lot changed. In fact, there were some who felt like he was too tough. And Sessions, who's, I mean, Jeff Sessions is like out of the 1930s on some of this stuff. I mean, let's modernize just a little bit. I don't think he's cracked down nearly as much as people thought. And I think there's a better chance, Adam, next March, you're president, vice president, and defending the green jacket than Jeff Sessions is the attorney general by next year. So maybe it's different. Okay, among the texts. It's closer to being legal here. Minnesota just needs to overregulate. Hours and days of sales should be wide open. Too many old Europeans in this state. Will never happen until they die off. Well, we see a lot of things that are changing by generations, Adam. Same-sex marriage is one of them. There's still more of a pushback in the Republican Party. But if you compare the Republican Party, voters, registered Republicans, 40 and under, compared to 40 and older on same-sex marriage, it's not even close. I'm cool with it. But are they going to be forced to buy from state-run growers because the streets are always cheaper? Well, you know, it's a lot harder if you're just the local dealer, Carter, right? If all of a sudden it's legal in this state and you can go to places and they have that available to them. I'm trying to think if I've read a story about what has happened to local dealers in states like California, Washington, and how they're holding on. Maybe that's something the two of us should do a project. We should go out for about a month to California. I'm volunteering. Are you volunteering?
Yeah, man.
We'll do a show, maybe just really high. Just kind of check in. This is a good tune. I already voted in the state of Minnesota. I vote for all the people who are proponents to legalize marijuana who are on this year's ballot. How about the legalized pot candidate in the attorney general's race? Who now has endorsed Keith Ellison, right? I didn't think he really was going to endorse Doug Wardlow. But that race is going to be so close. Some of the polling had him at 5%. That potentially could matter. It's about time we legalize marijuana. Sooner the better to make money. Once all the states around us legalize, our opportunity to cash in will be lowered. I'm a retired 34-year-old veteran of the Minneapolis PD. Every drug addict I dealt with started with marijuana. How about the other 99.9% who started with marijuana and didn't become a drug addict? Because I don't doubt what the person is saying, but the overwhelming amount of people who smoke pot did not become drug addicts.
How about all the people that went in for like a knee surgery or something and got prescription opioids and now are addicted to heroin?
Yeah, but that's okay. That's fine. More texts, and we'll take calls too. 651-989-9226. Jamie Ukas and about 10 here on CCO. Chad, this text just coming in. Text away 81807. Chad, would you really want a brain surgeon or heart surgeon working on you or a loved one after they were smoking marijuana? It stays in your system for days. I wouldn't care at all. I don't want the brain surgeon working on my friend Adam while he's high, okay? But I know this texter. We've talked before, ma'am. I really appreciate the listen. But if you smoke pot on a Tuesday, you're not high on Thursday. You just it does not affect you in any way. And by the way, I'd much rather have someone who smoked pot on Tuesday and now is operating me on Thursday, or smoked pot on Wednesday night and is operating me on Thursday, than someone who's popping their pills every day, as Adam pointed out, to deal pain. James from Richfield says, some say marijuana is the gateway to other drugs. No different than kissing is the gateway to sex. All alcoholics started with beer, too. Oh, did you see the item today, too? Climate change has the potential to affect the beer supply. Now all of a sudden you're into climate change, aren't you, Carter? Now you're worried about
me, Mr. Denier.
Exactly. Mr. Hoax. The only reason the vote for Minnesota for Virginia Jones is because there are so many uneducated people that vote Democratic here not knowing anything. You should have to show an ID to vote. You have to pass a test before you're ever allowed to vote. So in other words, this brain surgeon, who, by the way, I believe sent a text earlier in the day saying he knows that the Ellison divorce document is going to show all sorts of abuse when he has no idea. He has zero idea, but he just has told us that every Democrat is dumb and every Republican is smart. Nuanced, I think. More text here. I actually think legal marijuana could actually reduce violence and suicides, plus help other medical concerns. It'll be like fireworks at all the surrounding states will have it and gave tax revenue. Which one of the surrounding states would be most likely to do it, do you think? I mean, Wisconsin does have that mixed reputation, right? Yeah, the citizens of Madison would, but right now you've had, you know, a number of years, Scott Walker, although he is definitely behind. The Dakotas, which you've said many times, in case people have missed it, that it should be one state. Adams' policy has been, honestly, you're not that special. Just Dakota.
One Dakota,
you know? I mean, 49 sounds cooler anyway, doesn't it, than 50 states? Hammer, wouldn't you rather have 49 states, not 50?
I kind of like that proposal, actually.
The fighting 49.
Do you do the same with Carolina?
I think there's at least a difference in North and South Carolina. I mean, Adam, North and South Dakota, is there really even a difference?
They get four senators. California gets two.
Yeah. Let's go. Should we do a show now in the Dakotas? Black market sales are very much down in Colorado. If the state can't trust the system, so the fireworks, we probably aren't mature enough to manage marijuana. I have two dispensaries in Colorado that are very busy. Both locations are rocking. Medicinal and recreational require separate entrances. That doesn't surprise me at all. I still want all drugs legal. I can't get my heroin. That's on your own. Let's see. We got 10 more here. Same person. Let's put a $100 bet. This is the same person who's convinced what's in the Ellison document. Let's put a $100 bet on the divorce paper showing he's an abuser. Come on, Chad. Put your money where your mouth is, and maybe you'll find out what I know. Why don't you call in and tell us what you know, okay? I have no clue what is in his divorce papers. And if it would show violence, it's nobody's damn business. Crystal clear. Nobody's bleeping business. And by the way, I've called out Ellison. I'll do it here again. He's ducking questions. He hasn't answered enough. He still hasn't answered enough for me. I'm not voting for him at this point until he answers some specific, direct questions on this. I'm glad he's going to be a part of debate, but he's barely made himself available. But this same texter just told us, in his or her objectivity, that anybody who's a Democrat is dumb. But this brain wizard is telling us he knows or she knows what's in the Ellison documents because he doesn't like them. So why don't you explain with some depth, call in and say how you know specifically what's in there.
By the way, I'm seeing some pictures. I don't know if Kim Ellison must be holding a
1 o'clock press conference. Yep.
Yeah. It says, this is from Dave Orrick with the Pioneer Press.
Yep.
Kim Ellison says she wants parts of their divorce file that deal with her MS and depression to remain private. Kim Ellison
Absolutely.
Said there are no records of any abuse in their divorce files because there was no abuse.
Yeah. The personal matters involving the two of them, if they've agreed to this, are nobody's business. If you want to have an independent judge look and see if there are any examples directly or tangentially to violence, fine. But the texter, who again has showed his words clearly, that anybody who votes for a Democrat is stupid. That's the word. So if you want to call in and explain, go ahead. Somebody's talking about my kids. If it is legal in this country and they want to smoke pot and they are of legal age, Quentin is not, 100%. They should be allowed to make that decision. 34 past 1. Traffic, weather, news, and then Jamie.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
No Jamie open. We're getting right to it. Right to Jamie Yukas.
Boom.
That's the deal. Are you at your normal location in Southern California?
Or? I'm in Los Angeles, baby.
Very nice. Are you going to the big LeBron? I don't know. Is LeBron opening up at home?
Oh, God. You know, why are you asking me?
I don't know. Well, you're everywhere. I mean, are you hanging with LeBron so
no,
far?
No, I'm not that cool.
How about
no.
Tom Hanks?
No, not yet. No. Wouldn't that be fun, though? I'd love to pick his brain.
Well, remember, is it QAnon thinks that he's involved in some giant conspiracy too? You know, Tom.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly. He's behind some attempt to ruin the world. I forget what crazy conspiracy he's tied to. I want to talk flying with you because
flying. Okay.
Okay. This topic has come.
I know a little bit about.
You do. This topic's come up. It's a little dicey, so neither one of us is trying to offend anybody in this, and you don't even know what we're going to talk about yet. But it's
But this is terrifying now.
Oversized flyers and a challenge for seatmates and airlines. So USA Today had this story yesterday. We're at a stretch where people in the whole have gained weight and the seats are getting smaller. Okay.
Well, the seats are definitely getting smaller, and that's a fact. There used to be like 100%. 170 seats, I think, on a 737, and they're up to 181.
Yep. So it's awful. And I think we've all faced this dilemma before, and some people listening might be someone who's a little bit bigger, and they don't enjoy this. They don't enjoy this process, and they're trying to be as accommodating as possible. And, you know, airlines are trying to come up different ways. In fact, one of the airlines is talking about a voucher for someone who is in a seat where it was so uncomfortable because the person in the seat next to him was so big that they try to compensate him. I'll tell you this. One of the last flights I took, I came on late. I don't like to get on early. Do you like to get in the plane early?
No. Well, it kind of depends. So with my job, if I have to carry like equipment, yes, because I want to know where it's being put.
Yeah.
But if I'm not traveling for work, no, I'll be like the last person
on
the flight.
I want to be literally the last person. And I came on and it was a couple. And they both were bigger, and Jamie, they both were just disgusted that I was going to take the seat. And the guy literally said to me, we were told this seat was going to be empty.
Oh, well, that's too bad for them, right?
Right, and I said, listen, I'm sorry. And then he got mad at me for taking the – and he goes, you want to try to find another seat? I go, sir, when I walked on, it looked like the plane was completely full. And he's like, well, you should really get up and try to find another seat.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, sir, I'm going to sit here. You know, and he's like, well, it's not going to be very comfortable for you. And it would have been different if the tone would have been different.
Right.
You know, just saying, hey, I'm sorry, you know, whatever. This is just who I am.
Yeah.
But it was really oddly confrontational. And then she said something at one point during the flight. It was bizarre. So I don't wish this difficulty on any of the individuals involved, right? For the individuals who have a tougher time getting the seat, or the people who are next to them. What do we do about this, though?
Well, this I almost wonder in some ways, Chad, because as you're bringing this up, you know, I mean, it's just statistically that there are more overweight people than there ever have been.
Correct.
You almost wonder if the airlines who have now, you know, if you bring on a bag, it's $25, two bags, it's $50, whatever, you know, where they're nickeling and diming everyone. I almost wonder, because there are so many different size people, maybe there will eventually be seats for bigger people that you have to pay more.
Yeah. And I
don't know. Maybe that's one of it. They do want to squeeze more people on a plane. I mean, it's all about profits for the airlines, right?
100%. You know, and
so,
I get if they're open seats, then we can make accommodations, okay? Because you
but
can.
But when is the last time anyone? I challenge your listeners too. When's the last time you got on a plane where there were open seats?
Rarely. I mean, you have to be flying a red eye or something really unique, and even a lot of red eyes. You're 100% right. They're
packing people in, and they've eliminated routes, and they've
a lot of them.
You know, they're making people go through connections now because they don't want a bunch of empty planes flying.
Nope, it does no good for them, and they've battled revenue situations, and we can get in that debate and all the fees they've charged and all the money they've received from the government. But I think you're right, Jamie. And if people think I'm being cruel, I'm sorry. This is not my intent at all. But if I'm on a flight and someone is dramatically spilling over into my seat, and there's no other place for me to go, I just have to randomly be punished? I don't think that's fair. I'm sorry if
well, maybe the airlines will figure it out that if you want to make sure that you're not in that situation, maybe you have to pay more. Maybe it's not the people buying a bigger seat. Maybe it's you paying to not have to be next to somebody like that.
Yeah, but I mean,
you know they're going to have to monetize it in some way. They're not going to,
right?
You know, there's no solution here that's going to not end in a fee.
Oh yeah, or in angry feelings too, right? I mean, so let's say I'm.
Well, here's the problem, right?
Okay.
I mean, you know, you and I have talked a lot about. I recognize that there are people that, for health reasons, you know, are overweight.
Yes.
You know, I
many people have done a lot of things to try to prevent this.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I even myself, when I worked the overnight shift at WCCO, I was probably about 20 pounds heavier than I am now. Like, I get it. Like, you gain weight, you lose weight.
Yep.
What you're talking about, though, I think is it's more the case where people have made a choice that maybe they haven't dealt with feelings in the past. Maybe there's an underlying medical condition, but they've gained weight to the point that now they're impacting not only their health in life, but they're impacting the space of other people.
They are. And I mean, like in your example, though, let's say I show up, and in the example that I talked about when I was flying, I think it was in the spring, I forget when, and came on, and all of a sudden I see that they're two larger individuals, and it's going to be a really, really tight fit. I should then have to pay more to get a different seat? That seems completely unfair.
Well, I don't know what the solution is, Chad, right? Like, the thing about it is, like, if two individuals were completely drunk on the flight, you could make a case to be moved.
Right.
I mean, right?
Yeah. But I wouldn't have to pay, right? I mean, if I got two
louts
by me.
No, that's what I'm saying. But I don't know where – I'm just saying I don't know where the line is.
Right, because
– I don't know what the airlines – what they've stipulated as, you know, what's fair and what's unfair. Because obviously they all run their own handbook and customer service.
Right. And, I mean, what are you going to do? Are you literally going to be at the gate, okay, and you're the gate agent, and someone shows up and they're a bit bigger. Maybe they're even taller, whatever it might be. And you're going to have like an actual seat right there. And you're going to say, hey, can you fit in this seat? Because if you can't, I'm going to have to charge you more money. I mean,
doesn't an airline do that? I feel like there's one, if you need a lap band extender, I think you get charged.
There are ones that have, Tamara, look it up, because I know I've talked about this before. Airlines have debated this and how they deal with it and what is the fairest way to do it, because the cruel thing is if in the end you can't fit into the seat and the plane is full, I think you have to pay for another seat.
I do. I think you have to pay for a second seat.
Right? I mean, I think that's what it should be. Now, if they're open seats, no, that's callous. There's no need to do that. But as you pointed out, all these planes, 90-whatever percent, are completely full.
Right.
It's an uncomfortable situation.
For everybody.
Exactly. For anybody and everybody. And I don't know how you deal with it, but the reality is some of this is absolutely on the airline industry. Let's be clear about that. As you pointed out, the seats are just demonstrably getting smaller. And people are getting bigger.
Right. It's not just necessarily being overweight. Like, you bring up a very good point. Like, I have friends who are 7 feet tall, and they barely can get their legs in some of these seats.
Right.
You know, so I don't know what you do about it. And then what, are they forced to buy a first-class ticket so
right.
they have leg room or be in the emergency exit row?
Here's some of the text here. My husband is 6'5". We pay extra for an extra seat for him to be comfortable. I'm a smoker and I have to pay higher insurance on my car and health. That is a choice that individuals have to face. So if someone comes on a flight that is filthy, smells awful, has bad breath, or lots of garlic, I should be penalized. Everybody has something that you have to deal with. I don't think Jamie should have any problem if someone smells disgusting to push the button and say, hello, can something be accommodated here? Now, that's another awful position to be in.
I know, because it's also somewhat subjective. Because is it somebody? Is it just that they have BO, or is it that
right.
they're wearing too much perfume and you don't like perfume? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't know.
How would you like to be the person that has to push the button and say?
Well, you know, I mean, Chad, in my travels, to be honest, I have sat next to anything and everything.
Right.
And every type of person, from the most wonderful that I still – actually, there's a woman, Dawn, I met on a flight to Denver that she and I still are – we're Facebook friends and we message each other to see how our lives are going. You know, like in pictures on Facebook and that kind of thing. And then there's people – I was on a plane from San Francisco back to New York after covering the Super Bowl where I fell asleep on the window seat, and two men, I wake up, and they're showing me how they took pictures of me sleeping.
That's great. Seriously.
Creepy, right?
Yes, that is very creepy.
And said, please delete that. That's very creepy. It was like, haha, no, you fell asleep, and you're sitting here, so
– They've never seen
–
they apparently have never seen a human being sleep before.
Well, apparently I was pretty funny sleeping with my mouth open or something, but it was, you know, I mean, that's, I just think.
Yeah.
I
no, you're right.
It goes to a bigger conversation of just like how rude people have become flying.
Yes.
It's like, and my grandfather was also a pilot, and I will tell you, you had to get dressed up to go to the
airport. La-dee-da.
Well, I know that that's like a very old-fashioned thing, but like you used to get dressed up and actually
yeah,
take pride
right.
in your appearance, and you'd fly, and it meant something. Now I go to the airport, you talk about smelling bad, it's like half these people aren't even clothed.
Wait, what flights are those? I need to...
No,
I mean it's just
here
old.
In L.A., it's like I've seen between New York and Los Angeles, I've seen anything and everything.
Yeah, I bet.
Sheer leggings where the butt's hanging out, like,
just,
you know.
How about just common decency, right?
That's
just
what I, you know, when you talk about people smelling,
kindness.
Like, don't you have any pride when you leave the house that, like, you're getting on an airplane with 180 people and you stink?
Yeah, or just respect for those 180 people.
Or for yourself.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Here's the deal. Buy a plane, then that'll get us to travel around, and this will solve the whole issue. Get that done by Tuesday. We'll talk
All
about
right.
it next Tuesday.
Sounds great.
See ya.
Good luck.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.